بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد We continue our readings in the book كتاب التوحيد الذي هو حق الله على الأبيد by the great Imam المجدد الشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى We begin this morning reading from the chapter, seeking the aid and the assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author, he has mentioned, Babun min ash-shirk. Babun min ash-shirki lubsul halqati wal khayti wa nahwihima li raf'il bala aw daf'ihi. The author, he mentioned the title of this chapter, which is From Ash-Shirk, or From Associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship is to wear a ring, a halqa, or a string, and that which is similar to these two, and for the purpose of removing harm or preventing harm. For the purpose of removing harm or preventing harm. We've seen in our previous class that the author, he had mentioned at the end of the last chapter, or he had mentioned in the last chapter that the rest of this book is a clarification of the meaning of at-tawheed and the shahada and la ilaha illallah. In the previous chapter, the author, he mentioned, after mentioning the evidences in the chapter, he said, وَشَرْحُ هَذِهِ التَّرْجَمَةِ مَا بَعْدَهَا مِنَ الْأَبْوَابِ And the last tarjama, or the last chapter, was the chapter, the tafsir of at-tawheed wa shahada and la ilaha illallah. The interpretation and the explanation of at-tawheed and the statement la ilaha illallah. And the author, he mentioned that the chapters after that chapter, and from now on, the rest of these chapters, they are in the clarification of at-tawheed. So the author, he had begun from the very beginning to the book, into the end of the book, to clarify at-tawheed. But now the intent here from this chapter until the end of the book is to clarify the details of at-tawheed, tafasir at-tawheed, by mentioning many of the affairs that conflict with tawheed and contradict tawheed, either opposing it and removing it entirely, or by negating the completion or the perfection of Tawheed. So the affairs that the author, he will mention now, are the affairs that are related to Ash-Shirk. And by understanding them, a person will be able to know the reality of Tawheed. Because a person will not be able to truly understand Tawheed and the beauty of Tawheed and the great right of Tawheed until he understands the opposite of that, which is shirk and polytheism and associating partners with Allah Azza wa Jalla in worship and the different aspects of this. So here the author, he begins in this manner. بَابُ مِنِ الشِّرْكِ لُبْسُ الْحَلْقَ وَالْخَيْطِ وَنَحْوِهِمَا لِرَفْعِ الْبَلَىٰ أَوْ دَفْعِهِ This is the chapter with regards, he says, مِنِ الشِّرْكِ مِنْ الشِّرْكِ And مِنْ is harf jar. Let's do this. مِنْ مَاذَا يُفِيدُ مِنْ هُنَا وائل
يجمع بعض
ايوه من الحروف الجر لها معاني لها معان منها لان حروف الجر they have meanings from them this word min it means it has the meaning of تبعيضية so here what he's saying is من الشرك اي من بعض الشرك not all of shirk is like this rather from a shirk and from some types or some of the types of shirk So here he's mentioning any min ash-shirk, yani min ba'dihi. So this is the mention of some of the aspects of shirk, not all of shirk. So from the aspects of shirk, lubsul halqa. Lubsu al-halqa. Here we read this word lubs. We could read it another way, lips. What's the difference between lubs and lips? If we read it like this, would that be correct? Min ash-shirki lubsu. That lubsu. There's two words, labisa and labasa. Labisa yalbasu min bab. لابسة يلبسو. باب سامع. لابسة يلبسو. This means لابسة يلبسو. الارتداء. To wear something. To wear something. نعم. And the مصدر is لبس. لبسن. But then we have لابسة يلبسو. من باب ضربة. بمعنى خلطة. So learning the tasrifat of the verbs is very beneficial because they have different meanings. And the origin and the huruf for lam, ba, sin. But one of them is labasa yalbisu, the other one is labisa yalbasu. So labasa yalbisu, la talbisu al-haqqa bil-baathil. Alladhina amanu walam yalbisu imanahum ay yakhlutu. So that's al-khalt, to mix. Do not mix. Do not mix the truth with falsehood. Those who believed and they did not mix their iman with shirk or oppression with oppression. But the other way, you read it the other way, labisa yalbasu, this is to wear. So the master's loops. So here you say loops, min shirki loopsu, from shirk is to wear halqa, loopsul halqa. Wal halqa, yani the ulama, they say kullu ma stadara min sufrin wa nahwihi aw min al hadid, and anything that is round, that is round, that is made from nuhas or sufur or hadid, from the ores or the metals or brass and the likes like this, it's something round. They would put them on the necks of their children, or they would hang them on around their children, or they would put them on their arms, or they would put them on their arm up here above the elbow. And they would wear these, and likewise strings. And they would have the intention when wearing them, as the author indicated here in the chapter title, لِرَفِ الْبَلَى, in order to remove harm or to prevent harm from coming. So they would wear these halqa. This is from the affairs of al-jahiliyyah. Before al-Islam, they used to have this creed, and they believed that they would wear these amulets, and that they would wear these rings, and that they would wear these strings, and they believed that these strings were a means to protect them from the ayn and to protect them from the jinn. And they had this belief that it would protect them. If they had a sickness, it would remove it, or it would protect the sickness from afflicting them, and the likes like this. And they had them, and they were known as al-wad'ah. Al-wad'ah, and also al-tamimah. And they would also sometimes put al-kharaza. And these would be beads. They would put beads on the string, and they would wear them, but not wearing them for decoration, wearing them with the creed and aqidah, and wearing them with the belief that this string or these beads or that al-wada'ah is like shells that they find on the beach. If you go to the beach, you find shells from the small animals like mussels and the likes like this. They look similar like clam shells. These, they would wear them. They would wear them around their neck, or they would put them around their children, or they would put them around their animals, or they would wear them on their arms. Or even if one did not wear them and he did not hang it, but he kept it in his pocket with this belief, this is all considered the same. This is, the ruling is the same here. So this is the issue with regards to this is considered shirk, to wear this halqa or this khayt wa nahwihima, or these beads and with this creed, or these shells and the likes like this, with this creed here. This is important. Li raf'i al-bala. He wears it with this intention. Li raf'i al-bala. Meaning, yani izalatuhu ba'da nuzulihi. After it has come down, after the calamity, the sickness, or the weakness, or the hardship has come, that the infliction has come, he would wear it to remove it after it has come. Aw daf'ihi. Or before it even comes, he would wear it with the creed that believed that it would prohibit it from inflicting him. They would prohibit this string that has beads on it, or this string that has shells on it, and the likes like this, or the amulet that they are wearing, or they have. They believe that it would prohibit the ayn from inflicting them, and disease and sickness and the likes. This is the issue here, and this is considered shirk. But the origin, the ulama, they mention with this type of action here, this is considered in its asl to be a shirk al-asgar, and it's not major shirk. And this is because he has taken something to be a means, for protection or to remove harm, that Allah did not legislate it to be the means for this. He has made something a means for protection and for removing harm and protection from harm that Allah He did not legislate, not in the legislation, not in the shara, and not in the qadr. And He has made it Himself and believed that it is something that will benefit, and Allah did not legislate that. So this is considered shirk al-asgar. But if the person, this is the case, if the person, he believes that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one alone who will remove the harm. Or Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one alone who will protect from the harm and the difficulty or the sickness and the ayn. But this amulet or this string or these shells and the likes like this is only the means. If they believe that this amulet that he's wearing, or what he's tied around his neck, around his children, or his animal, or for our days in his car, he believed that that's only the means. But Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who will protect him. He has only taken this thing as a means, then this is considered minor shirk, a shirk al-asgar. But if that person believed that that halqa, or the khayt, or the wada'a, if it was, he believed that it would protect him itself. He believed that that thing had the ability itself to protect him or to remove the harm without Allah. He has the belief inside of that amulet and the likes like this, then this is major shirk. Then this is major shirk. So then it's in two types. The origin here is that it's minor shirk. The origin here is that it's minor shirk. In order to understand this chapter, it's very important to understand the ulama. They mentioned ahkam al-asbab. Ahkam al-asbab, the asbab or the means, the rulings of the means of protection and the means of removing harm and sickness. So there's no doubt that every human being, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has created him in his natural inclination that he does not like harm. He does not like sickness. He does not like to be inflicted with pain and the likes like this. And he strives, and a human being will strive to protect himself and his loved ones from any type of harm or sickness. And he will do whatever he can to do that. And to protect those whom he loves likewise. This is something that the human being, he hastens for. And he does not like for himself to be inflicted with a sickness or a pain or hardship, nor his loved ones from his family and the likes like this. And so he would take whatever means that he can. But there are means that are legislated and there are means that are not legislated. So this is something normal for a human being to strive to protect himself from evil or harm or difficulty. Or if it had inflicted him, he would do what he can to take the means to remove it. To remove it. But here we see that the important affair here is that we have to take the legislative means and the means that are permissible, because there are means that are impermissible. And there are means that people have taken to try to protect themselves from harm that are considered from the aspects of shirk, like here. So in order to understand this chapter, and the chapter is similar to this, then one, the ulama, they direct us to understand ahkam al-asbab, the rulings of the means, the rulings of the means. So some of the scholars, they have summarized this into 3 points. And the first point is that one would not take anything as a means except what has been affirmed in the legislation or in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing that one would take as a means to protect himself from harm or to protect himself from sickness or to protect himself from the ayn or from the jinn, or the only thing that the means that a person would use to remove that affliction if it had befallen him, whether it's a sickness or whether it's a pain or whether it's from the jinn or the ayn, the evil eye and the likes, the only means that's permissible and allowed for a believer to use are those means that are affirmed in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the sharia, that have come in the text of the Quran and in the sunnah. The means have been clarified here that are beneficial and that are permissible. Likewise, in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His legislation, in the universal decree, and the universal decree that which has been established in the universal decree, likewise, that it is from the means that Allah has legislated universally, that it's beneficial, and that it will remove harm, and it will remove the ayn, or will cure, be a means to heal sicknesses and the likes like this, or to prevent that. If it's established in the universal decree, then likewise, this is from the permissible means. to take means that have not been established in the legislation, nor have they been established in the universal decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, then this is entering into this aspect here from shirk. So in order to protect oneself from evil or from harm or from sickness or to remove it after it has befallen, there are means for that. And those means are legislated in the Sharia of Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran and in the Sunnah, or they are legislated by the universal decree. For example, we see that al-asal, honey, is a means. It is a means for cures. It's a dawa, and this has been established in the legislation. It's been established in the legislation that there is a substance that you eat it and you put it in your body, and it is a means to cure you. And this has been established in the Quran and in the Sunnah. It come in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He commanded one of his companions, whenever he was complaining from a stomachache, to drink to eat honey. He commanded him three times, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, Allah mentioned about the honey in his book. He said, "Fihi shifa'un lin-nas," that the honey, the asal, that has a cure for the people. So this is an example of what has been established in the legislation from the medications and from the things that one can use to heal himself and to cure himself. That's established in the Sharia. Likewise, the al-habba al-sawda has been established in the legislation that it's a means of cure. And likewise, the ajwa, the dates, have been established that they are a means of protection from the ayn and from magic and the likes like this. And this, so these are legislative means. These are means that have been legislated and clarified in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, from those means of removing harm and hardship or bala, the evil and the calamities, or protecting oneself from them also, that has been legislated in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, Ar-Ruqya. And the chapter will come in the next chapter to clarify the details of that issue, but it has been legislated and has come in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it's legislated to make Ruqya, and particularly the Fatiha. Al-Fatiha is a ruqya, and that one would read it. And there are other, the whole Quran in reality is can be used for a ruqya. And Allah mentioned about his book, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And we reveal the Quran, and in it there is a shifa, a cure, and a mercy for the believers. And a mercy for the believers. And likewise, there are adhkar and supplications that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has mentioned in his sunnah, that have come authentically, that they are supplications for ruqya, and a means for a person to cure himself. So these are examples of the legislative means for removing the bala and the calamity or the affliction, or to protect oneself before it even befalls. Likewise, the other means is the al-asbab al-qadariya, al-kawniya, the universal means that have been legislated by Allah's universal decree. Because we know that the qada of Allah Azza wa Jal and his qadr is two types, al-qada al-shar'i wal-qada al-kawni, al-qadari, that he has the legislative decree, which is found in the book and in the sunnah, and likewise he has a universal decree. And the universal decree is that which we see from his creation and the affairs that occur. And if we know, and if something occurs, we know that it's from his decree. So we would not know that it's from the universal decree of Allah Azza wa Jal until it occurs. And once it occurs, then it's established, it's from the universal decree. So the ulama, they have mentioned the way to establish that something is considered the means for cure or for protection from harm, from the medications and the likes, to establish that in the universal decree is a bit tajarib, that they would have tajriba and they would have experiments and they would test, and after some time they would test and they would find that this particular plant, for example, is very beneficial for this particular disease. They would use it time after time, and then it would be proven from this trial and error or in this test like this tajriba, that this particular substance is beneficial for this particular disease. And we see that today, and they have medical research. And for example, they have for headaches, they have a particular drug they have found, or a substance they have found that's very beneficial for that particular ailment. And it's been established that whenever one has that that affliction with the pain in the head, he takes the sudafedrin, for example. And this is the means that Allah has legislated and decreed universally that it's beneficial for that particular ailment, for that particular ailment. And there are other, also, for example, one has a cough or one has a particular disease or sickness. There are certain substances in the creation Allah has created for the people to use that the people have found by tajarib, yani by testing and experiment, that this particular substance is beneficial for that particular ailment, for that particular sickness. Everybody with me? These are the two ways and the two means. This is the first issue that's allowed. It's allowed. It's allowed to use. This is the permissible means. The means that for protecting harm. This is what the author is talking about. لِرَفِ الْبَلَىٰ أَوْ دَفْئِهِ. So with regards to removing an affliction or to protect oneself from affliction, this is the first issue we have to know. That the means to do this are two. The legislative means and the universal means. The legislative means, meaning has come a text in the Quran and Sunnah that this particular issue here is beneficial. For example, likewise al-hijama. So the ulama, they mentioned from these means, there are some things that go in and there's some things that come out, that cause it to come out. And from these means, for example, you eat the habba sawda, this goes in your body and it helps to cure you. So, or sometimes you take hijama, it takes out of your body. Like this. And then there's other things. This is from the hissiyah, al-amur hissiyah. And then there are other things that are ma'nawiyah, like the ruqya. But this has to be established in the legislation. Also, from the greatest means of protecting from calamity and hardship or removing it is supplication and calling on Allah Azza wa Jal. So these affairs have been established in the legislation. As for the other affairs that have been established in the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal in His creation, then it comes by tajadid. But it has to be something that goes in or comes out. To goes in, you put it in, or it means to take something out of your body. It can't be something from the spiritual affairs. It can't be something, it has to have a direct effect. It has to have a direct effect, because if it did not have a direct effect, it has to have some other type of evidence to establish that. As for something that has a direct effect, and it's proven in the creation and the decree, by the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that it has been affirmed, then this is also permissible, like the certain medications and the likes like this. So maybe a person, he will take the medication, or it will be something that will cause the blood to come out, or the disease to come out. Or even if he put a medication, the ulama, they mentioned, that goes on the body like a cream, and then the body sucks the medication, or soaks the medication into the body, and then it's beneficial for that particular ailment. All of this is from the permissible means. All of this is from the permissible means. But for example, to wear a string or to wear a bracelet and it doesn't do anything, it doesn't put in and doesn't take out, and then to believe that it would protect or remove an ailment, this is where the chapter is speaking about. It's not permissible. So from that same aspect, the ulama, they mentioned the bracelets that they wear for rheumatism. We heard about that. They wear some type of metal or brass bracelets, and they claim that there's a disease called rheumatism, and that it will remove that. This bracelet that doesn't bring anything inside the body, nor does it take anything out. Therefore, it's from the same aspect here. And Shaykh Ibn Baz and Shaykh Uthaymeen, and other than them from the ulama of the Sunnah and the Lajna Da'ima, rahimahumullah jamia, they mentioned that this is not permissible, and it's from this aspect here. And from this aspect here. So this is the first case with regards to the means. What is the first issue a person has to know about removing evil or being protected from evil? What are the means for that? The Quran and the Sunnah. What does that mean? The legislative means, like for example, al-asl wal-hijama wal-ruqya. It's been established. There are texts in the Quran and the Sunnah that have proven that this is a means for protecting from evil, and a means for removing calamity and the likes. And the universal means, how is that established? That's right. But how do they establish it? By test and experiment. They try it They try it until it's proven that this right here, this ailment, this particular substance is beneficial for that. This particular substance is beneficial for this particular ailment, and it's established. It's established. Now, so this, but that substance has to be something that goes in the body or comes out of the body. And it has to go into the body or come out of the body. It can't just be something like that bracelet that they wear. It doesn't do anything. And then they claim that it will remove harm, or that it would remove pain and the likes like this. This is not permissible. So these issues here, they have to be something that go in or come out. And from the universal decree that are from min al-amur hissiyah, nam, from the tangible affairs. So the after this, and which is a very important point that ulama they mentioned. So after this is established, knowing that there are means that are permissible, and these are the means that are permissible, whether they're established in the legislation or they're established by the tajriba and the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, that the believer, he will not rely upon them. He will not rely upon them. Understand that? Even the ruqya, he will not rely upon that. Even the athkar, he will not rely upon that. These are means. So his reliance and his trust and his hope, and he knows that only Allah Azza wa Jal can help him. Only Allah Azza wa Jal can remove the harm. Only Allah Azza wa Jal can raise the calamity or the affliction. Only Allah Azza wa Jal can cure him. And nobody else can cure him. And he has made, these are means. These are the means. So he has his faith and his trust and his reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he takes the means that are permissible. Some people, they rely on the means entirely and they forget Allah Azza wa Jal. Other people, they don't even take the means and they claim they're going to trust on Allah Azza wa Jal. But the true completion of putting faith and trust in Allah Azza wa Jal and having tawakkul is to take the means also along with that. So a person will put his reliance and trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, but at the same time take the means. So here, whenever we take these means, a person will not rely upon them and believe that they are the means of benefit themselves. I mean, they benefit by themselves. But rather he'll believe that Allah has legislated and decreed for them to be the means for him to benefit. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he is the one who brings the benefit. That Allah Azza wa Jal, he is the one who brings the benefit. And the third issue likewise is to know that these means, they are connected to the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if Allah decrees for them to work in the manner that is legislated for them to be, that He has decreed for them to be means, then they will work and they will be beneficial. But maybe Allah Azza wa Jal would decree for them not to work at times. Maybe He would decree that it would not be a means. And in its origin, it's a means, but this benefit is connected to the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He decrees what He wills. So a believer, he will put his faith and trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is the proper creed and belief. He doesn't believe in the means only, rather he takes the means that are legislated while his heart is attached to Allah Azza wa Jal. As for the one who has taken something to be the means to remove harm or to remove illness or to protect from that, and it's not established in the legislation or it's not established in the universal decree from the affairs that are tangible that one can see, then he has taken something to be means that Allah has not decreed or legislated. And this is Shirk Asghar. This is the chapter here, and this is Shirk Asghar. And this is because of his heart being attached to that thing. For example, those who wear an amulet, it's not established in the Quran or the Sunnah that's beneficial. Rather, it's established that it's not beneficial. It's established that it's not beneficial. But the one who takes that amulet, for example, why does he take that? As a means, he believes that it will protect him. This is as a means, ahsant, naam, as a means of protection. As a means of protection. So in his heart, the only reason he wore it, or the only reason he put it on his car, sometimes we see even today that some will hang it around their car and they'll have, for example, a hand like this. A blue hand. And they have an eye in it. And it's hanging on the shield like this. On the rearview mirror. I've seen it many times in certain countries. Very widespread. Very widespread. And you ask them, what's that? So that protects from the ayn. That protects from the Ain. Huh?
They call the
Eye of Fatima. But they have that and they believe that. And they believe that. Others, they hang shoes, but they don't, not decoration. No, these people have a creed and a belief in that. So why do they hang it? Because he believes that it will protect him. So if he believes that it will protect him by itself, and that thing has the ability to and the power to protect by itself, this is major shirk. But if he believes that this only the means, then this is minor shirk. But this is because of the attachment of the heart to that thing. The heart is attached to that thing. Why did he hang it there? Because there's aqidah. Because there's creed, he believes in it. He has a belief in that thing, that it's the means, that Allah made it the means, or that it's a means to protect him. But Allah, he did not legislate that. So now he is making something in the creation as the means, and Allah didn't legislate it. So he's legislating something Allah didn't legislate. He's believing there's benefit in something Allah did not decree there's benefit in. So that from this aspect, he is committing shirk, the type of shirk, and this is considered to be minor shirk. So they will hang things, or they will hang them around their children, or they will hang them in their car and their vehicle, or even if they carry them in their pocket, even in the society. I remember as a child, they used to give kids a rabbit's foot. I remember that, you know that? They used to give them rabbit's foot. What did they say about the rabbit's foot? It was a lucky charm. That's what they called it, a rabbit's foot. It would be a real rabbit's foot. A real foot, and it had a keychain on it. And they'll give it to the kids and to the people. Some of them will have them, and they believe that it would bring good. They believe that it would be a means to bring good. And then sometimes if he lost it, he might be very upset and scared. Where's the rabbit's foot? Sometimes they would take other things likewise. This is something that is known even in these lands. But this is from shirk, and this is not permissible, and this is contrary to tawheed. Based upon the methodology of the author in the book, he said everything after the last chapter, which was called the explanation and the interpretation of tawheed and the shahada and la ilaha illallah, all of this is the clarification of tawheed. From what we heard so far, who can clarify the meaning of tawheed? So this is supposed, what we're supposed to benefit from this chapter here, what we're supposed to benefit from this information right here is the clarification of tawheed and the true meaning of la ilaha illallah. Uh-huh.
Part of worshiping Allah alone is to put your trust in Him alone. For protection and healing and just for the
ahsant. That's it.
Now, Allah with that, and don't put your trust in anything else.
The heart. The heart, the attachment of the heart. So the issue here is that the heart it must be attached to Allah alone. And the heart has to have faith and belief in Allah alone. He's the only one who can help, and He's the only one who can aid, and He's the only one who can bring good, and He's the only one who can remove harm. And from that belief is that also that one would not seek any help or aid except in Him and what He has allowed. In Him and what He has allowed. Believing in Him and having the heart attached to Him alone, then he would only take the means that Allah has allowed. So Allah has allowed certain means for him to protect himself, certain means for him to remove harm or to cure himself whenever he's sick. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. Allah mentioned about Ibrahim, whenever I become sick, then He will cure me. And so the reliance, the point here, is that the heart must be entirely attached to Allah Azza wa Jal. And it must be having faith and trust and reliance in upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, not looking to the creation. Not having the heart attached to the creation to bring him any type of goodness or any type of khair or to protect him from any type of harm. Rather, if somebody did bring him good, he would know that it was Allah Azza wa Jalla that created him and created and provided for him that good, and that Allah directed him to me to give me that good. So this is all from the decree of Allah in the first place. So also from the decree of Allah in that situation is that a person will show thanks to Allah and to that person. He would first praising Allah and thanking Allah, and then say to that person, Jazakallahu khayran. Jazakallahu khayran. Because whoever didn't thank the people, he didn't thank Allah. But the belief and the creed is that it's from Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's why a person, he said, Alhamdulillah. First and foremost, Alhamdulillah. If somebody came with some good or somebody protected from harm, it's from Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's all from Allah, His decree. And He is the one who has created all things and provided everything that it has. And if somebody is able to help you, that's because Allah decreed him and created him and give him the ability to help and then directed him to you to help you from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the heart is ultimately always attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then following the legislation and taking the means that are permissible. Taking the means that are permissible. So we read a benefit from Shaykh al-Sidi, inshallah, and we close with that. He says here, Shaykh Abd al-Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sidi, rahimahullah, he said, إِذَا عُلِمَ ذَلِكَ, and he summarized many of the benefits that he mentioned in his explanation, and he said, and he basically, if we know these means now and the issues that we have discussed previously, he said, if you know that, فَمَنْ لَبِسَ الْحَلْقَةَ وَالْخَيْطَ وَنَحْوَهُمَا قَاسِدًا بِذَلِكَ رَفْعِ الْبَلَاءِ بَعْدَ نُزُولِهِ أَوْ دَفْعِهِ قَبْلَ نُزُولِهِ فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ لِأَنَّهُ إِنْ اعْتَقَدَ أَنَّهَا هِيَ الدَّافِعَ الرَّافِعَةَ فَهَذَا الشِّرْكُ الْأَكْبَرُ وَهُوَ الشِّرْكُ فِي الرُّبُوبِيَّةِ حَيْثُ اعْتَقَدَ شَرِيكًا مَعَ اللَّهِ فِي الْخَلْقِ وَالتَّدْبِيرِ وَالشِّرْكُ فِي الْعُبُودِيَّةِ حَيْثُ تَأَلَّهَ لذلك وعلق به قلبه طمعا ورجاء لنفعه طمعا ورجاء لنفعه. So if we see what has been intended so far, so the one who wears a ring or one of these amulets or a string or these beads and the likes like this, while he is intending to remove the affliction or after it has befallen him, or to prevent himself from the affliction before it befalls him, then this is shirk. This is shirk. But the point is very, very, the issue I want to make here is what he said here, قَاسِدًا لِذَلِكَ. And then it's also clear in the title the author mentioned from the very beginning, the one who wears these things to remove harm or to protect himself from harm. So it's not just simply wearing something or hanging something, anything, whatever it may be, but rather it's with creed and a belief. They have a creed and belief. And this was the way they were in the time of Jahiliyyah, that they would put it around their animals with belief and creed that would protect them from the ayn, with a belief and a creed that would protect them from the jinn. And that's why they did it. So not everything that somebody hangs or everything that is hung or everything that somebody wears, for example, would be considered from this aspect. Rather, the one that is wore with this intention. So the Shaykh, he says, the one who wears it, قَاسِدًا بِذَلِكَ رَفْعِ الْبَلَاءِ أَوْ دَفْعِهِ, the one who wears it with this intention, with this creed and this belief, then he has made shirk. He said, because he has taken this thing as a means of protection or to remove the shirk, if he taken a means himself, this is major shirk. And this is major shirk in the rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal, because he has believed that there is another creator who is able to dispose of the affairs. And if there's a calamity that is going to fall, this thing will protect him from that calamity. There is a calamity that has fallen, this thing right here can remove the calamity. This is from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and He is the one who has the lordship and the command. And He decrees and commands whenever calamities will befall and where they will befall. And it happens by His permission. And whenever they are raised, it happens by the permission of Allah. And this is from His lordship. So to believe that there is something else in creation that can do that by itself, then this is shirk in rububiyyah. This is shirk in rububiyyah. Then also Shaykh Abd al-Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sidi, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, also is shirk in uluhiyyah, because his heart is attached to that thing, hoping for it, with hope in it that it will protect him, with hope and desire that it would remove the harm. So this is the one who believes that these amulets or these things protect by themselves or remove harm by themselves. This is shirk in rububiyyah and in uluhiyyah. Shirk in the rububiyyah from the belief, and shirk in the uluhiyyah from the heart being attached to that thing and hoping in it and hoping for its benefit and hoping for it to benefit him. Now he said, وَإِنْ اَتَّقَدَ أَنَ اللَّهَ هُوَ الدَّافِعَ الرَّافِعَ وَحْدَهُ وَلَكِنْ اَتَّقَدَهَا سَبَبًا يَسْتَدْفِعُ بِهَا بَلَاءً فَقَدْ جَعَلَ مَا لَيْسَ سَبَبًا شَرْئِيًا وَلَا قَدَرِيًا سَبَبًا وَهَذَا مُحَرَّمًا وَكَذِبٌ عَلَى الشَّرْءِ وَالْقَدْرِ. So he said, as for the one who believed that Allah, He is the one who removes it, and He is the one that will protect him from it, but he has taken this to be a means only. But it's not from the legislative means, not from the legislation in the deen, and not from the legislation in the universal legislation, then he has taken something that is not permissible as a means, and this is haram, and this is lying on the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, and also lying on the qadr. And he's claiming that this thing will benefit him, and Allah did not legislate it, not shar'an, not qadran. So that means he's lying. He said it would benefit him, Allah didn't legislate it. Not in his sharia and not in his decree. So he's lying on the sharia and lying on the decree, claiming that it's a means of benefit and it's not a means of benefit. And all of this is impermissible. So to summarize, the one who takes a means to protect himself from something or to remove an affliction that is not legislated, this is considered shirk. It has details, two types. What are the details?
If you depend on that thing solely,
Shirk Akbar. If you depend on it entirely, then you believe that that thing can benefit by itself, that's Shirk Akbar.
But you believe it's just a means, and it's Allah who's going to cure.
If you believe that it's only the means and that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He is the one who brings the benefit and He is the one who brings the cure, but He has taken this thing as the means and it's not legislated to be the means, then this is Shirk Asghar. Ahsantum, Jazakum Allah Khairan. Hada wa sallallahu ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.